Radio Netherlands, the home of high frequency since 1927.
Hello, this is Jonathan Marks via PCJ Online, just about to push the button on another programme from the Media Network Vintage Radio Archives.
This is Radio Netherlands, the Dutch International Service. Hello, you knob twiddlers.
Media Network, the weekly communications magazine for shortwave listeners. Produced and presented by Jonathan Marks.
Greetings, and whether you class yourself as a knob twiddler or not, if you're curious to know what's going on behind the radio dial, then stay with us for the next half hour. First, we'd like to pass on the news that a new edition of the Radio Netherlands book list is coming off the press today. Now expanded to 20 pages, there are numerous corrections and additions to the old one, and as usual, it's free of charge on request. If you're looking for books and tapes about shortwave broadcasting, this should certainly help you. Also coming up very shortly, experiments with the Hobbyscope basic code for home computers. Phase 3 is on the horizon. But first today, see if you can identify this interval signal.
Here is the Deutsche Welle.
You're listening to Radio Deutsche Welle, the voice of Germany, broadcasting from Cologne in the Federal Republic of Germany.
Well, that wasn't difficult, I'm sure. But in fact, one of the relay stations used by the Voice of Germany to relay its programmes to Southern Europe, the Mediterranean, Middle East and parts of Southern Asia has been switched off rather suddenly. The relay station concerned, on the island of Malta, consists of three 250-kilowatt shortwave and one 600-kilowatt medium-wave transmitters. And since 1 o'clock in the afternoon, exactly a week ago today, they've been silent. I spoke to the head of public relations at the Deutsche Welle, Lothar Schwarz, through an interpreter, and asked them for background to the shutdown.
On the 1st of September, a new law was publicized, the so-called Foreign Interference Act, and for that reason, the electricity company was advised to turn off the electricity.
But the problem is that hasn't Deutsche Welle already signed a 25-year contract with the Maltese government?
That is correct.
But then why can they break that contract?
Well, this is our question also, and that is why we sent a telex on the 1st of September and on the 3rd of September to the Maltese government and to the Prime Minister. We interpreted the Foreign Interference Act, and we feel that it does not apply to Deutsche Welle. There is a so-called Pacta Sunt Servanda Act, an international regulation, which we refer to in our first telex. This is an international statement which says that a contract signed is valid. The head of our legal department has gone to Malta yesterday, and one of his tasks is that he also should explain our interpretation of the law, and that he also should insist that the status quo would be reinstated.
The loss of the Malta relay station has meant that particularly programmes in Arabic and Turkish have had to be put on transmitters based in Germany, so reception is affected. A few other programmes from different organisations were also transmitted from the Deutsche Welle relay station as part of the agreement with the Maltese government, and these have vanished from the airwaves too. So did the contract between Deutsche Welle and the Maltese government have much longer to run?
The original contract was signed on March 1970, for 25 years.
So it's right in the middle
of... So it should be valid till 1995.
Are you hopeful that you will get the station back on the air?
In our telexes, we stated that we are willing to continue our negotiations, and also the German ambassador will contact the Maltese government to discuss the matter.
They haven't said that they want more money.
No, there was no money discussed. They want free of charge more broadcasting time from Deutsche Welle. If for all purposes, Malta wants to broadcast. And the second point is that they complain that the relations between the Bonn government and Malta government should be improved, and if they are getting better, the relations between the government of Malta and the Deutsche Welle would improve also.
Well, this story, incidentally, brings back memories of what turned out to be the departure of the British influence from Malta a few years back. For as soon as the British forces stationed on the island were told to leave, this station became part of radio history.
You're listening to the British Forces Broadcasting Service in Malta.
Well, we'll see what happens. A thanks too to Mike Barraclough in England, who did some background research on that last item. And coincidentally, he's on the phone at the moment with a message of interest to listeners within the reach of Reading in England.
UK listeners to Media Network are very welcome to a meeting to be held at Reading on Saturday. We're hoping to have as guests two well-known Australian DXs, Bob Padula and Peter Bunn. The meeting is at 2:30 at the St Mary's Centre in Chain Street. If you'd like further information, give me, Mike Barraclough, a ring on 046-26-76636.
Thanks, Mike, and good luck on Saturday. That phone number again was 046-26-76636.
This is the weekly communications magazine, Media Network, the programme shortwave critics hate to miss.
Right, the next bit could be entitled Out of Band Corner, with two new entries. Firstly, Greece has been noted on the new frequency of 11645 kHz, by our frequency office, with a very clear identification yesterday at 0715 UTC.
Εδώ Αθήνα. Η φωνή της Ελλάδας.
The frequency again, 11645. Meanwhile, you may know that the RTBF, the French language station in Belgium, is completely separate from the Dutch-speaking organisation, the BRT. Well, now, the French-speaking RTBF has been spotted signing off at 1210 UTC on the frequency 17595 kHz, a frequency which has been used by the BRT before now. So far, though, the BRT and the RTBF have never shared frequencies, at least in the recent past. Also, according to the Latin American DX report bulletin from Argentina, which just arrived today, Thursday, the Falkland Islands Broadcasting Station has added a new transmitter on 3958 kHz, first noted by Louis Saint-Germain on August the 25th. He lives in Argentina. This is in parallel to 2370 kHz, but 3958 may make the station easier to hear. Over the last few months, we've reported that a number of Bolivian shortwave stations have started to reappear. Many are run for the Bolivian tin miners, and because of the nature of shortwave reception, can sometimes be heard outside Latin America. They make for fascinating listening, if not because of the curious background that often surrounds them. Our Latin American correspondent, Tony Jones, looks now at the comeback of these stations.
Radio Fides and Radio Sararenda were the first to return, both having been off the air for technical reasons. In fact, Radio Fides had been virtually wrecked by military forces in July 1980. Of the other four stations to return, one, Radio Estentor, nominally on 6195 kHz, had been absent from shortwave for over 2 years, during which time a new 10 kW transmitter was being constructed. Another, Radio 23 de Marzo, broadcasting from Tupiza, was heard irregularly during July and early August, the first time heard in more than 3 years, and may still be broadcasting illegally, as the station has in the past only been licensed for medium wave. For those interested in hearing 23 de Marzo, the frequency is 4638 kHz, and the best time would probably be during the final hour prior to sign-off, which is usually around 0300 UTC. The remaining two stations, Radio Progreso of La Paz on 6005 kHz and Emisoras Pio XII of Siglo XX on 5954 kHz, are by far the most interesting of the six, and it is well worth taking a closer look at their respective histories, particularly during the past 5 to 10 years. Let us look first at Radio Progreso, owned by the media company RACIPREN, a thoroughly professional station with widely varied programming worthy of a city of some 750,000 people. With some justification, the station can claim, as indeed it does, to be la primera emisora trilingüe del país, broadcasting not only in Spanish, but also in Quechua and Aymara. No doubt, some of the hard-hitting commentaries in Spanish and Aymara, directed at the mining communities of the Altiplano, have led to Radio Progreso's periods of dispute and closure. Not a great deal is known of the station's activities prior to 1976, and as far as is known, there were no major problems, taking into account the relatively continuous schedule during the previous 2 years. However, 1976 changed all that. Up to early June of that year, the daily transmission schedule was limited to 3 one-hour broadcasts of news and commentary, the last of which was heard on June the 8th. This was the time of a massive general strike among the miners and the sympathisers, and Radio Progreso was not the only station to be taken off the air. Radio 21 de Diciembre and a number of other stations also suffered the same fate. Transmissions on 6005 kHz were resumed irregularly during March 1977, and a regular schedule was established from the beginning of April of that year. Operation during 1978 was somewhat irregular, and even more so during the first quarter of 1979. And then, on May the 8th, the storm broke. Having called a press conference, the Vice-Chancellor of La Paz's main university, UMSA, Universidad Mayor de San Andrés, announced that a contract had been signed between the university and RACIPREN, the parent company owning Radio Progreso. The Vice-Chancellor made clear that the main purpose of the station would be to provide a means of communication for, quote, the large sectors of the population who are ignored and who need to express their worries and aspirations. This was too much for the authorities, who tried all possible legal and some illegal means to prevent the project going ahead. Despite numerous delays, the project eventually got underway, and the station resumed shortwave broadcasts at the end of June 1979, just in time for the general elections. But the station's return was short-lived. In the chaotic events which followed the elections, Radio Progreso was forced off the air and was not heard again until May 1982. Radio Pio XII, while often suffering a similar fate to that of Radio Progreso, is quite a different station. Located at the site of South America's largest tin mine, Siglo XX, it is a private Roman Catholic station, dedicated not only to transmit the Christian message, but also to educational programs and, above all, a fervent belief in social justice. Here is a station which carries the Christian message in the true humanistic sense of the word, and which returns time and time again to the issue of human rights. It is a crusade not without its dangers, and some of Pio XII's announcers have been seriously injured in the past, when military personnel have forcibly entered the station. In recent years, the station has suffered two lengthy periods of forced inactivity. From January the 13th, 1975, when the station was closed along with Radio La Llagua and Radio 21 de Diciembre, and again from July 24th, 1980. In the first case, the station received authorization to return to the air in October 1975, but did not do so until much later, and on the second occasion was off the air for 2 years before returning with experimental transmissions in July of this year. Two stations among many, but each in its own way demonstrates the problems facing many Bolivian broadcasters today. Long may they survive.
Well, if you're looking for those Bolivian stations on the tropical bands, Tony's just telexed a list of two more which have just returned. Radio Corocoro on 5869 kHz was heard signing off at 0200 UTC, and Radio Animas heard at 0300 on 4990 kHz, a busy channel. And a previously reported station, Radio Libertad on 3885 kHz, operates 23 until 0230 UTC, located in Entre Rios in the department of Tarija. Finally, to complete the picture, neighbouring Paraguay has produced two regular stations now, Radio Charitas on about 6110 kHz, 6110, Monday to Friday only, 11 hours to 15:30. That frequency varies. And Radio Guaria on 5942, between 10 and 18 hours UTC. Certainly fascinating parts of Latin America to follow using shortwave radio. Now, Barry Davis, a regular English listener to this programme, phoned our answering line, Hilversum 18700, the other day, to ask if the American Forces Radio and Television Service would be setting up a radio station in the Lebanon to serve the US peacekeeping force now out there. Well, the answer from AFRTS is apparently no. But, as we reported last week, another station in the Lebanon has increased power recently. That's the sound of the King of Hope on 6215 kHz, noted around 20:30 UTC last night, a reasonable signal here in Hilversum, with an English gospel programme. There's also a medium wave service too, that's called the Voice of Hope, and it too carries religious programmes and news. The operation is run by a group called High Adventure Broadcasting Network, based in California, USA. They've been on the air exactly 3 years today. And on the line is the president of the group, George Otis. George, why the name, first of all?
Well, the Voice of Hope, of course, was named because of the fact that the area was in such despair. They had given up. The people had such a grimness upon them that they were just holding up. They weren't tilling their fields. The biggest problem there was in all Lebanon is that they had just thrown up their hands and were ready, waiting to die. And the Voice of Hope provided a great deal of utility to them. And the King of Hope really is named after the King of Kings, the Lord Jesus, because our stations basically are gospel stations. We had had such encouragement from the regional effect of the Voice of Hope that it came to us that if we could extend that to other areas of the Middle East and up into Russia and Northern Europe in particular, that it could provide a dimension of encouragement to move again toward peace and love and salvation.
Whereabouts are the stations located? Because you talk about Free Lebanon. Whereabouts is that?
It's near a Lebanese city called Marj Ayoun, which is only about 5 miles from Israel's northern border town of Matula. And so in the south of Lebanon, not far from Israel's border, in a place called the Valley of the Springs, are these stations, three stations altogether, two medium wave stations and the King of Hope, the big shortwave station, are located in that region, right in the heartland of the Holy Land.
You say two stations are AM stations. Is that a recent development?
Yes, we added a second medium wave station about 6 months ago.
I see. Are there any plans for further stations in the area?
Yes, we have a fourth station that we've named the Prince of Peace that is being built right now, an FM station to serve a vastly growing FM audience there in the Middle East. There are certain properties in FM that make it attractive for that region.
You, in your information summary, you talk about future plans include the ability to beam concentrated power in directions on shortwave with a second station. Where is that going to be based?
That will also be based in the same region where it is now, in the Valley of the Spring, in Lebanon.
And when do you expect it to be on the air?
It should be on the air by year end.
I see. Is that going to use higher power transmitters than you're using at the moment?
It'll be higher power.
And where are you going to beam to?
We're expecting to beam that more into Iraq, Iran, and into the up north, into Russia, Afghanistan, and of course, in the process of that, we'll pick up, you know, nations like Iraq.
Which languages are you planning to use then?
At the present time, we're using seven languages, including Farsi, Russian, Serbo-Croy, Arabic, of course, is a vast audience, and English, of course.
You mean these are on the air at the moment, or they're planned for the year end?
They're on the air at the moment.
I see. Where do the English broadcast? Where are they intended for?
Because of the fact that English language is a secondary language to most people of that region and many parts of the world, we find that that English is a good basic language to include in the formatting of stations in that region. We compile the news by having a newsroom in which we utilize regional stringers of our own, and then we pick up the news services, the excellent classic news services. We monitor BBC, Voice of America, Reuters, UP, Cool Israel, and also the news out of Beirut. And by assimilating that, we prepare our newscast.
Why do you call yourself High Adventure Broadcasting Network?
Well, that's the name of a book which I wrote, is High Adventure. It was its title, coming from the fact that I, as the general manager of the Learjet Corporation, a businessman, having come to know Jesus in midlife, said knowing Jesus is high adventure was the phrase that I used, and from that came the title to my book, and then a name for the ministry. It costs us about $2 million a year.
George Otis on the line from California. Well, with me now is John Campbell for our monthly look at the clandestine radio scene. John.
I've heard that my past news about hobby pirate stations has been a lot more interesting to some listeners than my news about political stations. Since those listeners are people who like writing to stations that they hear, I guess the reason's clear enough. Almost no political stations give out addresses, and they're usually not very efficient at replying to letters. Well, the good news on that front, which has turned up lately, is that there's a trend, even though it's small, it's better than nothing, in the direction of replies from political stations. For example, Radio Venturemos, which speaks out in favor of the guerrillas in El Salvador, is now quite regular in replying to listeners' letters. I've mentioned that before, but some of you may have missed it, so I'll repeat that the best address for the station is Apartado 7-907, Mexico City. Broadcasting hours and frequencies vary a bit, but you can look out for Radio Venturemos around 6853 kHz, 6908, or 6952. And good times to try are between about 0 hours UTC and 0115, and again from 11 hours to 1215. A new station to start replying is one that's been around for a while, though until lately it's been just one of several small homebrew stations run by Cubans in Florida, which make unfriendly comments about the government in Cuba. This is La Voz de Cuba Independiente Democrática, and it has expanded very much lately. Jeff Cozier in Melbourne has received a schedule from the station, which certainly backs that up. Supposedly all the channels I'm going to mention are synchronized to put out the same programming at 01 hours UTC. But it doesn't work that way, partly because at least two of them are other radio stations which have probably accepted the programming of CID on some commercial basis. Also, as far as I know, all the channels announce only as La Voz de Cuba Independiente Democrática, and even though some of the other names which are used for the channels by the schedule are here on paper, I'm not sure that they've been heard over the air. but at least they make the list sound more poetic. Here's the list. First of all, on 5105 or 5106 kilohertz, Radio Ignacio Agramonte broadcasts daily, they say, from 0015 hours, except that on Sunday it opens at 01 hours, and on all days except Sundays at 10 hours. I think that the lengths of the broadcasts vary, but they tend to run for an hour or more. On 4980 kilohertz, which is via Ecos del Torbis in Venezuela, and on 11700 kilohertz, via Radio Clarín in the Dominican Republic, the broadcasts start at 01 hours, or 0105 UTC, on Tuesdays through Saturdays. There's the same schedule and timing from one of their own transmitters on 7412 kilohertz, with the pet name Radio José Antonio Echeverría. See, I told you it was poetic. And finally, on 7355 kilohertz, at the same times again for the political broadcasting, plus daily from 0015 hours, with the more relaxing program, Desfile Musical. There's Radio Antonio Guiteras, which may be a misprint for Gutierrez. Keep an ear open for any addresses that they may announce. I think that the most reliable channel, as far as long-distance reception is concerned, for one of their own transmitters, is 5105, but you can also try 7355.
Thanks, John.
Media Network, from Holland's best legal shortwave radio station.
Finally today, we mix together America and Africa in this curious story. You may have heard our reports about Radio Marti recently, which incidentally still hasn't been given the full green light, despite other reports to the contrary. Now a curious story has emerged from the South African newspaper, the Johannesburg Sunday Times, by their Washington correspondent, Jim Schrodes, which, for some reason, we've been unable to trace in the US media. This reporter says that during the Radio Marti discussions, Representative Ron Delmans sponsored an amendment to the US Treasury to finance an equal sum to that being spent on Radio Marti's Cuban broadcasts for a propaganda radio station to broadcast to the Republic of South Africa. The name proposed was Radio Biko. But the suggestion appears to have been quashed under cross-examination on August the 10th. Richard Jinbi, our African media newsman, takes the article further.
Where would Radio Biko be located? Was there some frontline state which had volunteered to be the host site for the transmitter and station personnel? Would Radio Biko be able to beam its freedom message to other Southern African nations, to Tanzania or Mozambique, to Angola or perhaps Zaire? In what languages would Radio Biko broadcast its messages and programs? How about Afrikaans? Would Namibia be included before its independence, but not after? The hour grew late, and the members grew anxious to go home. It was Radio Marti, yes, and Radio Biko, no, by a 2-1 vote all round. On the media news front, a reminder that all times are in UTC, by the way. Swaziland has come under the spotlight lately following the death of King Sobhuza II, the world's longest reigning monarch since Queen Victoria. Unfortunately, there are no shortwave news broadcasts from this small kingdom. In fact, since the death of King Sobhuza, the Swaziland Broadcasting Service, the government-controlled station, has been off the air. The other two stations, Transworld Radio and Swaziland Commercial Radio, continue with their canned broadcasts as if nothing had happened. In fact, SCR's African service, Radio SR, has increased its output during the week. 1630 to 1830 on 4980 kHz is unchanged. 1830 to 2030 has been added on 3223 kHz. They're joined by 1377 kHz medium wave, 1377, at 2000 hours. On Fridays, sign-off is at 2300. For the first time in 8 years, there are split transmissions, medium wave and short wave dividing, between 1830 and 2000 hours. Mondays to Fridays, the medium wave transmitter carries religious programs in English. Those shortwave frequencies again are 4980 from 1630 and 3223 after 1830.
This is is Radio SR, the International Sun.
Some news items in brief. Radio Lesotho has again extended its hours of broadcasting. The new sign-off time is 21:55. Frequencies are unchanged, 891 medium wave, 891, and 4800 shortwave, 4800. Look out for Africa number 1 in Gabon using some new frequencies. 17885 kHz, 17885, is on the air on a test basis again after 0700 hours, and 9710 kHz, 9710, from 1700 to 2300 hours, and this is a sometimes replacement for 4811.
Thanks to Richard Jinby. He'll be back next week. That's all for this edition. So on behalf of everyone here, this is Jonathan Marks saying back soon. Bye for now.
Some stations talk to the world. Radio Netherlands talks to people.
And that's where we end this nostalgic trip back into the Media Network audio archives from 1981 to October 2000. If you find all this stuff interesting, you might want to explore the Critical Distance website.
This is Media Network with Jonathan Marks,
where you can find more vintage audio shows, but also peruse recent video interviews I've made in the course of my travels around the world. Some of the videos actually follow up on points raised in the Media Network programme. So zip over to www.jonathanmarks.com for more details. In the meantime, this is Jonathan Marks saying back soon. Bye for now.
I regret to inform you this recording is now officially over.